I once phoned a donor, and so he said to me like this: I've just invested in a big deal, and if the deal goes through, you can get the master money from the deal. So this is not a fundraising training course. This is not what you do, okay? You're supposed to say, that's very nice, thank you very much, I'll daven for you. I said to him, it won't work, the deal's not going to work. The deal's going to fail, I promise you now. So he's very upset, like, what do you mean, why? I said, that money was given to you to give to Stalker. You have enough to live on. This money that you're investing in, whatever, that you told him you just did this big deal, that money wasn't given to you to do business with. That money was given to you to give to Stalker. You didn't give it to Stalker. You want to make more money for yourself, and I'm just getting the 10%? All that money is supposed to go to Stalker. You don't give it to me, give it to somebody else. I don't mind. It's not for you. You want to make more money out of the money that you're supposed to be giving away? I said, well, take it away from me. Give it to somebody else. So that was the last I ever heard from him. But the bottom line is, the bottom line, that's not, don't do that when you're fundraising. But I couldn't resist. It was just so posh. Like, I walked into it. Anyway, so that was the last I heard from him. And I heard that the deal didn't go through. So he's still struggling to make whatever. That's the point. The Mishle says, there's one who scatters and more is added, and there's one who doesn't. He holds back from what's proper and he loses. Someone throws away money, gives there. It looks like he's losing. No, he's going to have plenty. Hashem will give him plenty back. The guy was holding and holding. Once again, a person not allowed to be reckless. He's not suggesting recklessness here. And he's not doing, we're doing everything here according to the Torah's Gedorim. If you're not sure, you are Shalas, but the bottom line is we shouldn't be so attached to this other money that comes across our desk, because it's a big test, first of all. He mentioned that right in the beginning of Shah Dalit. He said that that extra money you get is a big test. Shem wants to see what you're going to do with it, and it's not so posh, not a posh test, because the Torah knows what's going on. And yeah, we're looking. You see the difference between somebody who's a Baal B'tochen and somebody who's not. Someone who's not a Baal B'tochen is a miserable character. So he brings, yeah, it's very interesting. The Chofetz Chaim says a pshat here in the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, B'tach Ba'Hashem, it's in Tehillim, V'aseh Toiv. B'tach Ba'Hashem V'aseh Toiv. Trust in Hashem and do good. First of all, David HaMelech tells people you have to have trust in Hashem, and then he tells him to do good. That's because B'tochen is the foundation for all avodas Hashem. He says that right in the beginning of the Chovos HaLevavos of Shara B'tochen, he says this right at the beginning. Since the previous, the third, the Chovos HaLevavos, the beginning of a chapter, the beginning of a Shah, always justifies, explains why this is coming on the back of the one before. So since in the third Shah, this is the fourth Shah, in the third Shah we spoke about Avodas Elokim, that you have to accept upon yourself the Avod of Hashem. Therefore, I deemed it necessary to bring now Shara B'tochen, because that's what an Oed of Nevashim is more than anything else. That's B'tochen in Hashem. And there he says, because B'tochen is a vital tool, as you call it, a tool. It's a vital, whatever you want to call it, of every Eved Hashem, because there's major benefits in B'tochen klapei Torah, means your ruchnis dikavoida, as well as in worldly matters. So he says it right away. The reason why we're learning Shara B'tochen now, straight off to Shara Avodas Elokim, is because in order to be an Eved Hashem, you have B'tochen. Without that, you can't have B'tochen. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim learns out from B'tach B'Hashem V'Oseh Toiv. You first have to have B'tochen, then you can keep the mitzvahs. For example, he says, you have to give money, a certain amount of your money to Tzedakah, yeah? So the Yetzer tells him, one second, if you give your money away to Tzedakah instead of saving it, so then in the future, what are you going to do? You won't have money when you need it. also a person has to set aside fixed times for learning Torah in the morning and the evening. A person has betochen to say, 1 second, how can I take off 2 hours from work now? If I don't have work, I'm not going to have panasa. What will be with me? So therefore, the Chofetz Chaim says, the pasuk is telling you, betach b'Hashem, first go and build up your betochen in Hashem, then oisa toiv, and then you'll be able to do oisa toiv. You learn Torah, you give stock it now. You won't wait until you have enough in the bank for 27 generations, and then maybe you'll deem it worthy, you know, to use some of your money for mitzvahs. Betach b'Hashem, oisa toiv, you trust Hashem, you'll do the good now. So that's good for you in olam haba and olam hazeh. That's the Chofetz Chaim, the Shmiras Haloshen. Interesting, it doesn't quote from the Chofetz Chaim says it in Mefurish. He's bringing from the Pasuk in Tehillim. Okay, you said it. So that's the fourth area. The fourth area is knowing how to use your money correctly. Basically, the money that's above what you need for your day-to-day existence. Like I said, most of us don't have that problem. Most of us don't have enough to live on. And yet we still give tzedakah. And we do mitzvahs and we use our money correctly, but that requires a lot of cheshbon. It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to sit down and manage to cheshbon properly, whatever. I know how to live like that. The people that do that, I know I can't. Okay. A chamishi, the fifth difference between a baal betochen and someone who's not a baal betochen. Ki abotach be'elokim hu mis'asek b'sibus ha'olam. Someone who trusts in Hashem. So he is involved in worldly means for making a panasa, what we call an occupation or ishtadlis, whatever you want to call it. Not because he believes it's going to make him money. He does it, why? In order to provide for himself in the next world. He's doing the ishtadlis because that's the Ratzon Hashem. And when you do the Ratzon Hashem, you pack up your storehouse in the pantry and the next world gets filled up. He's not worried about getting filled up in this world. He's making panosa. He's ishtadlis as part of his avodas Hashem. I spoke on Friday morning. I spoke in Toronto. They're more balabatim, very balabatim. Guys that learn a bit, you know, that they might just made a siyum. They learned the fiyomi. But I told them, I said, the problem you guys have is when you go to work, you think that's one part of your life. And when you're learning, that's another part of your life. So when you go to work, that's also Torah. That's also Torah. When you go to the doctor, that's also Torah. It's just a question of attitude. Two people are standing in the bank doing exactly the same thing. The one's an Oved Hashem and the one's not. What's the difference? The one knows that he's in the bank because that's his chiv. He has a chiv to support his family, he has a chiv, whatever. The person who's making ishtadlis, the baal betochen, when he goes to work, he has a chiv to do ishtadlis. Whatever, we're not going into the reasons for that now. So when he's making ishtadlis, that he's being oved Hashem. So he's packing his storehouse for the next world. He's not doing because he wants money. He understands the money comes from Hashem. It's got nothing to do with ishtadlis. His ishtadlis is part of his avodas Hashem. Uma she is borelo boy. Therefore, he'll choose a panasa. He'll choose a hishtadlis to make panasa. Will be something that will enhance his preserve his Torah verbs and living properly in this world. Or maybe lahamrei sabira enenu misasek bo. He won't get involved in a panasa in ishtadlis. It's going to be detrimental to his Torah, and that will force him to go against the Ratzon Hashem. Shelo yavi la'atzmoy mad ve'tachas ha'arucha, so that he shouldn't, through his occupation, bring madve. Madve is some kind of it's an illness or whatever upon himself, rather than healing. His ishtadlis and his pursuit for panasa is supposed to make his situation in this world better, not worse. So you have to be careful when he chooses a panasa. What kind of disonus are you going to have? What kind of tests are you going to have? You're going to have ribi shalas. You're going to have this. There are a lot of things a person has to think about is how's this ishtadlis that I'm making, how does that affect my avodas Hashem? Is my own personal integrity going to be challenged and I'm not, who says I will stand in the sign? I will stand. I won't. I will. Person has to be very careful when you choose the ishtadis you're going to do that, you find something that you know is not going to, I'm not talking about that'll take you out of learning. That a person has to make certain ishtadis, he has to work it out. He's been learning, and now Kodesh Baruch Hu wants him to go work. But Taba spoke about this often, about the swing that we have, the pendulum that swings for us between Zvulun and Yisachar. Person can sit and learn as a Yisachar. Sometimes a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to him and says, I need you to go out there into the world. I need you to go to make a Kiddush Hashem somewhere else. So it brings a bit of financial difficulty on the person and forces the person to go work and find a panosa. And then out there, the person will make a Kiddush Hashem out there. It's not going to change his panosa. But he should choose something that's not going to put him into compromising positions where he's going to have to compromise his Torah. We know we've had terrible nisoinus in this Klal Yisrael. People had to go to work, they had to work on Shabbos. If they didn't, they got fired. That was a big nisoin. A lot of Yidden couldn't handle the nisoin. They went to work on Shabbos, Rachmana Litzlan. If they're special minions, if they used to have special minyanim in America, early minyanim, so people could. So people could daven and then like sort of walk to work. They have enough time to walk to work or whatever. It was too much of any sign. We can't judge people like that. We don't know what the poverty was like in those days. People didn't have food. So not judging, but that's an example. You take on a panos that forces you to mechal Shabbos, something doesn't make sense. Okay. That's nisoin as people have, but Aval B'Tochen doesn't have that problem. Doesn't have that problem, the Aval B'Tochen. For me, she'ani b'teach b'elokim, ala sibus b'teach ala sibus v'tanuach daito aleim. So what does he do? He puts his trust in the ishtadlus, in his work, in his livelihood, in his koich v'etzim yodi. And he's relying on that in order to give him wealth. Therefore, he won't keep away from any of them. He'll be involved in good panosa, praiseworthy in his shtadlises, and he'll be involved in despicable ones. Since all he's interested in is making money and he thinks that his effort is making the money, he'll do whatever it takes to achieve that. And we've been out there, we know what it looks like. Terrific. He's not going to think about what's going to be in the next world, what's going to be in the afterworld. Shlomo Melech says of them, a wise man fears and turns away from evil. But a fool transgresses, and he's confident, he's fine. So he's scared to get involved in a panosa that's gonna challenge him, give him his shyness. He knows he can fall. But a fool, somebody who doesn't have betochen, he'll get involved in anything. Doesn't, even if he knows for sure he's gonna have to do some dodgy deals. That's a big one, and that's a big nisoy. This is not a theoretical story. This is a very practical story. This is a very practical. Not some pashut. A lot of things we do have to check. Now, even if you do check and you're a Baal V'Tochen and you do choose the right things, there'll still be nisoyness. No one's saying not. But you're not responsible for putting yourself into nisoy. You work in places wherever the nisoy is. I remember one of our Talmidim was going out to work as an accountant. And I never even thought about it. But he came to tell me that he's found a job working for a company where there's no woman in the office. It's a frum company, and there's no woman. And that's why he wants to go work there, because he doesn't want any soin with secretaries and whatever. I was like, my own impressed. Wasn't the big salary. He could have got a better salary elsewhere, whatever. But yeah, he felt he's in an office with his frum people. He's not going to be tested. Work in an office with secretaries, with whatever. Who knows what can happen to a person? Once again, I'm not saying don't work in an office with their secretaries. They're very chosh with fruit people. They do. I'm just using examples that were negated to me. How did he do that? Because he had betochen that the panos is coming from Hashem. I'd have to make my status and do what I have to do. You can get a more salary working down the road with the R secretaries. No, I'd have to avoid that nisoy and work in a clean place. And then, oh, whatever, the panosis from Hashem, my status has to be halachically okay. We're talking about doing a veirut. Talking about putting yourself in a situation where you may have nishaynus. The sixth area, bashishi, we've got time, yeah, we can do one more maybe. Okay. Someone who trusts in Hashem is loved by everybody. And they're comfortable with him. Because they know that he's not going to harm them. He's trustworthy. You can trust this guy. I'm sure you know people like this. I'm sure you know people that ran their business with integrity, with honesty, with even the goyim. Trusted them and spoke highly of them, and they were big, big Kiddush Hashem. I knew Yidden like that. Old school Yidden. Their word was their word. Even the Goyim knew. They were loved. They were trusted because, you know, the guy's not gonna hurt you because he's got no interest in hurting you. Why should he? He lives with Petach, and he knows whatever comes from Hashem. He's not going to do anything against the Rotzon Hashem in order to get Parnasa, because why would he? We're far away from these levels, but we have to just at least mechazik ourselves and know that there is something out there, at least in our own little places, to be careful of these things, to the point where people know him you can trust, because if he says he'll pay you back, he'll pay you back. He's not going to borrow money if he knows he can't pay you back. He's not. We're rochok from a lot of this stuff. People are confident about him. And they know they have nothing to fear about them from their wives, their possessions. Interesting, he puts that in here. Where he puts this in there, the Baal B'tochen is not going to steal somebody's wife. I don't know what that has to do with his mama. She just like a boom, throws it in here out of the blue. His mama, it was a bit jarring. I don't know what's it got to do with Panosa. So the Pasalechem brings here, he says it's a hekesh because the posuk in Shmois, the Isov Lo Sachmud puts together a wife and possessions in the same posuk. So the Pasalechem says that's what the Chovos Lavavos is doing here. He's putting together the fact that this person is not interested in other people's possessions because he knows, and wives, because he knows whatever he has comes from Hashem. So he's not in danger like we saw the Rashi then Koelis, we saw the 930 Vaad. That someone is not samach b'chelko b'ishto will come to all sorts of aveiras, and someone is not samach b'chelko with his possessions will also come to all sorts of aveiras. The shoy ratio of that is betochen. If you have betochen, you don't come to those aveiras because you have betochen. So I call me shemaim. V'ugam kain betuach mehem, and he also feels secure from them. V'bnei sheyodeh she'to'olto v'nizko enu b'yad nivra v'lo b'yecholto. He feels safe around people. You know why? Because he knows that benefit and harm aren't in the hands of human beings. That only comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, he's not a fool also. The Gemara says, if you're dealing with crooks, you have to be a crook yourself. If you're dealing with thieves, you'd be a thief. If you're dealing with dodgy people, he's not great Baalei Betochen, not idiots either. They're not fools. They know how to protect themselves. They know how to look after themselves. But they know at the end of the day, that's also in the world of Ishtadlis. They're cool in the world of Ishtadlis. They don't have to be over concerned about what people can do because it's from a Kosh Baruch Hu. No one can help him and hurt him. He has to make proper status. If everyone in town has bars, you have to put on bars. You lock your door, whatever. But he's not panicking and just trusting people and then nervous and paranoid around people because he knows this guy can't really help me or hurt me. He doesn't fear that they'll harm him, just as he doesn't hope that he'll get any benefit from them. Since he feels safe around them and they feel safe around him, then there's room for a relationship, there's room for love, there's room for trust. The Bolchonon Wasserman, Hashem Yochum Domov, said that the Great Depression, 1923, was caused by one thing. People didn't trust each other. Hakadosh Baruch Hu removed trust amongst people from each other, so no one lent each other money. Money stopped moving. When money stops moving, the economy collapses. money needs to move. Money needs to go from the bank to the lenders to this to that. Money has to be moving. If money's not moving, economies can't function. But if nobody trusts anybody, no one's going to give anybody, lend anybody money. So the economy crashed. That's what he said. The Kodesh Baruch Hu removed trust out of the world, and that caused the collapse of the economy. Someone who trusts Hashem, so kind of surround him. He's always surrounded by good things. What's the flip side? We don't have time to go through this. For me, Shani Batech Belokim, ain't no have. He's not no friends. Mipnei Shuba Kol Ace Chaimet Oisama Makayanda. He's always jealous of people and he wants what other people have got. Bechayshev Kol Toiva Shitigia Leim Sorum Imenu. He thinks whatever anybody else gets is coming from him. His friend gets a new car. Wow, that was, I should have also got one. And he's getting it and I don't have it. His panos is coming on my cheshbon. And anything that's missing from his desires is their fault. If I didn't get what I needed, if I didn't get what, your fault. Well, they could have at least help him to get what he wanted, and they didn't. If something bad should happen to him, or something should happen to his children or his money, he imagines that the others are at fault. He blames everybody else. It's their fault. It's the teacher's fault, the Rebbe's fault, the this fault, the doctor's fault. Well, they could have at least prevented the damage happening. Why didn't they stop it? Since he has these fantasies of being victimized by other people, some people start hating him. You know people like this. They're very hard to live with. They speak negative about him. They curse him. They hate them. People speak lashon hara about him the whole time. He is the one who's despised in both worlds, and he's not particularly welcome in any of the worlds. The perverse of heart will not find good. Another pasuk from Mishlei. The perverse of heart, somebody who's, I don't know how you translate perverse of heart. He will not find good in either world. Fine. So that's a person who has betochen. He lives a loving life. He's trustworthy. He trusts people. People trust him. They get on with each other. There's a good relationship where he goes. And therefore, he's good in this world and the next world. The person who doesn't have betochen in Hashem, he never trusts anybody. He knows that he's got to work hard. Everything's coming from his efforts. If he doesn't get it, he's blaming other people. If something happens to me, blames other people because they could at least protected it. And he's living this miserable life. He's eating himself up alive. His mom is living, he's eating off his own flesh. And unfortunately, we know people like that. It's not a happy life. Not a happy life at all. Tov. So there's a lot of work to do, yeah? Maybe next week we'll finish off this and maybe we'll do, I wanted to pick up what we did in the non-finish year the other day, just some get practical, yeah, with how we, we close the gap sometimes when we don't have betochen, how we deal with difficult situations. Eli, you were there for the VAD. I think it was very useful. Very, very good exercise. Man, if you remind me next week, let's just say maybe we'll pick that sugya up. I want to work that through more. I want to make that much more of an effort here, is to focus on where we're really holding. The Chovitz Lov was talking about a Baal betochen. But that's a couple of rungs above where we're holding. So how do you deal with these issues when you're not a Baal betochen? You're an apprentice Baal betochen. Okay. Laila Tov. Thank you.
Laila Tov.
Thank you.
Thank you.